All right, let's be in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we would ask you, Lord, that anything that might be inhibiting our understanding of your word today be gone. Any stuff that we have on our hearts that's going to deafen our ears or our minds, we can leave it at the cross. And I ask you, Lord, to instill in us the gift of your Holy Spirit so that our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds are open and receptive to your word. And all of God's people said, amen. We are comprising our Never Again list, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to read it. So we're going to start with never. You're going to read that with me, right? Never again will I
say
I can't. Turn to somebody and say that. Never again will I say I can't. Did anybody practice that last week at all? Did anybody come up against something you debate and you finally said, no. Never again will I say I can't. Anybody do that last week? Awesome. So we start our new one today, right? Never again will I say I lack. One more time. Never again will I say I lack. Turn to somebody and say, never again will I say I lack. Awesome. How many's got all you need anyhow, right? How many's got more than you need really truly, right? But how many, I mean, we're all human beings. How many say at times, I could just use something a little more?
Yeah.
Just, you know, one more cymbal, for example. One more guitar. One more car. Don't we always want stuff? How many want stuff?
Yep.
And when do you want it?
Now.
How much do you want?
All of it.
All of it, right? That's absolutely true. There was two pastors once, and they died. And one was a pastor of a very small church, an older guy, and he liked to ride a motorcycle. And there was another pastor of a 4,000-member church, and he drove to church in a limo. And they both died, and they went to heaven. And St. Peter is at the gate. He's always at the gate. How many know St. Peter is always at the gate, right? St. Peter's at the gate. And the older pastor comes in, and St. Peter says to him, and what is your name? He said, I'm Pastor Tom. He said, oh, yes, you ride that motorcycle. Yes, that's me. Well, you know what? You made it into heaven. We're welcome. Glad that you're here. We'll go down to Jonah Street, take a right on Gideon Way, and you'll find your house made of gold. And the other pastor got up and said to St. Peter, well, I'm here too. And St. Peter said, oh, yes. And your name? My name is Pastor John Smith. Oh, yes, I've been watching you. You come to church in that limo. That's right. He said, well, yeah. You go down to Joshua Avenue, take a right on Abraham Street. You'll find your house there made of wood. He said, well, wait a second. That old pastor, he gets a house of gold, and I get a house of wood? I don't understand. And St. Peter said, well, we have a merit system in heaven, and we watch you. He said, you've been preaching all those sermons in your 4,000-member church, and they've all fallen asleep. But when that pastor rides that motorcycle, they all pray. Welcome home, Pastor. Welcome home. You know, we said last week with the I can't, you know, we love to quote that passage of scripture that says, I can do what?
All
things. I can do all things. But we talked about that last week and we said, truly? I mean, can you truly do all things? And a lot of people raise their hands and say, yes, I can. I said, is that's true? I mean, if you really truly prayed all day long on Saturday that you can dunk a ball on Shaquille O'Neal, you think you can do that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you prayed all day and had the whole church praying over you, do you really think that you could beat Usain Bolt in a 100-yard dash?
No.
How many say there's no way you can beat him? You can't beat him.
No.
And so, can we really do all things we think that we can do, or can we do all things according to whose will?
God's will,
right? And so today we're going to talk about God supplying all of our needs. Well, what's a need? Is that a want?
No.
Is that a desire? No, that's a need. And we're going to talk about that in great depth today. We're going to go to our first passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. So let's all turn, if you have your Bibles or not, let's look up top. And Carol's going to read for us Philippians chapter 4, verse 19.
And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.
How many of you ever prayed to have something and you didn't get it? And you might be saying to yourself, well, God doesn't care. or God's not paying attention, or maybe he's given out too much already and there's nothing left to give. Is that possible? What if you really truly think that you need it? How many raised kids? How many of your kids ever needed a BB gun when they were 2 or 3? I mean, they really wanted it, right? Yeah, I gotta have one.
2 or 3.
But how many of you parents said, you're not getting one? How many know that your needs could be different than the person who's giving? Isn't that true? I mean, it is very possible. And so God says in his word that I will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory. Does anybody see there's a little caveat up there? Mm-hmm. There is a caveat, right? There is a caveat. And I want to take that apart a little bit. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verse 8.
Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together.
In the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Jireh, which means what? God will provide, right? Everybody kind of knows the story of Abraham and Isaac, don't you? For those who don't, let's talk a little bit about that. Abraham has a son, and his name is what? Isaac. And God says to Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, through the marriage of Sarah, and I want you to sacrifice him. Right? And so Abraham takes his son, Isaac, up to the mountaintop. And Isaac is carrying the wood. And what is Abraham carrying? The knife. And he goes up to the mountain to sacrifice his son. And Isaac says to Abraham, but where's the ram? There's no ram. Where's the ram? And what does Abraham say? God will provide. Isn't that something? I mean, have you ever decided to do something for the Lord not knowing how it's ever going to work out, but knowing that God's going to take care of it somehow? I mean, regardless of the situation? I mean, that's pretty bold stuff, right? I want you to go and sacrifice your child. And we call that in Scripture a type and shadow, right? That's a type and shadow of something that's going to happen in the future. What is it? Take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. What is that a shadow of?
Christ.
Christ. And on the way up the mountain, Abraham says to his servants, you wait here. You wait here, and me and the boy, we're going to go up to the mountain, and we are going to worship God, and we're going to offer sacrifices. And when we're done, we are going to come back. Who's the we are? He's thinking about him and his boy. He has the intention that he is going to sacrifice Isaac. He's going to do it. Sacrifice Isaac. He doesn't know how this is going to work out, but he knows that we're coming back. God will supply all of our needs. Do you have that much faith? Oh, I know everybody wants to say, well, you know I do. I know the answer. Do you have that much? Oh, yes, Pastor, I have. Come on. Really? Really? I mean, I know you have that faith when the need is supplied, but do you have that faith when the need is not supplied when you want it? Do you have the faith then? Do you? I mean, down at Children's Hospital, where I had to do my internship, there are people in chapels praying right now that their needs be met. Do you think all their prayers are answered the way they want them? No, not always. That's tough stuff. That's really tough stuff. And so when God says, I will supply all of your needs, what is he really saying to you? Well, when we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it clearly says that my God will supply your needs. And I want to make sure that you understand this. God will supply your needs, right? God will supply your needs, which means your employer will not meet your needs, your spouse will not meet your needs, your friends will not meet your needs, your children will not meet your needs, your church will not meet your needs, your neighbors will not meet your needs. God will meet your needs.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us in this small church today have looked to others for our needs. And we had a really bad day because somebody did not meet our needs. Scripture does not say others will meet your needs. He says what? I will meet your needs. I wonder how many of us are having a really bad day because our needs have not been met by everybody else. Well, you've been looking in the wrong places. Sissy cannot meet all my needs. I have too many. Hey, I'm honest. How many got a lot? How many are needy people in this room? Okay, those of you that have a husband here, how many know your husbands are the neediest person on the face of this earth? Carol.
That's not true.
Not true? How many husbands in this room are stupid enough to raise their hand when I ask the next question? And how many of you think your wives are needy? Unbelievable. Glenn.
I love her, Joel. What can I say?
And so we clearly have to understand that Scripture does not say everyone will meet your needs. It says who will meet your needs? God will meet your needs. God will. How many times do I do marriage counseling with people? Well, he or she doesn't do this, or he or she doesn't do that. Right? How many understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Or my kids are this, or my kids are that. Well, if you turn to God for your needs, maybe you wouldn't have that need that somebody's not meeting.
Amen.
It's very possible, isn't it? God says, I will meet your needs. God does. Does not say everyone else will. And he is the source of all riches. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4.
Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?
Wow. Wow. So when God gives you something, there's a purpose for it. To lead you in what direction? To the bank?
No.
I mean, hey, look what I gave you. Go to the bank and deposit? No. It's to lead you in his direction. It's to turn your life around into the direction of the Lord. That's a hard thing sometimes, isn't it? I want to talk to you a little bit about need. When we say that I want my needs supplied, almost 100% of the time, people are thinking about tangible things. Right? I really need a Harley Davidson. Well, Jimmy, I do. I really do. Bright red. But I'm willing to accept a trike. With two big wheels on the back. I'm willing to accept that. See, when I say to you that God will supply all of my needs, almost 100% of the time, we are thinking about tangible things. And I want you to understand that that is not the case. Some of us need a way out of our circumstances. Some of us need a way out of our addictions. Some of us need a way out of a broken relationship. Some of us need a way out of our own self-destruction. How many's ever got that prayer answered before?
Yes.
So don't say your needs are not met. The need is not always something you can hold in your hand. Sometimes a need is something you've been delivered from.
Amen.
How many need to be delivered from your tongue?
Oh.
But I hear some murmuring in this room. How many ought to pray this way? Instead of praying at night, oh Lord, forgive me for what I said. How about in the morning say, Lord, keep my mouth shut.
That's how I pray.
That's right. I'm thankful for your needs that have been met.
Yes.
And so some of us, when we understand, Lord, supply my needs, understand that your needs may be in a different arena than you're thinking. Sometimes our needs are more spiritual. Sometimes our needs are more relational. Our needs are not always the things I can hold in my hand. Sometimes the needs are the things you need to hold in your heart. Lord, I need to be more patient with my spouse. Lord, I need to be more patient with my kids. Lord, I need to be more patient in my circumstance. Lord, I have a lot of needs, and they're not just physical things. How many would say to me today, honestly confessing, that you know what, if I could get a way out of this circumstance, if I, Lord, what I need is deliverance. How many need deliverance in this room? Lord, if I could just get out of this situation, Lord, provide me a way. When I was a much younger man, like last year. Hey. My kids would tell me, especially it was my daughter Desiree. She said, you need to get a life. Okay, how many parents here have ever been told you need to get a life? Right? How many of you used to be smart until you had teenagers? Right? Right? And then when they got to have their own kids, you're smart again. It's like a miracle. It's a miracle. Well, I want to tell you today that when my daughter told me I need to get a life, I got one. Eternal life. I got me one. I got me an eternal life. How many's got an eternal life? I got me an eternal life. And that's good stuff, right? I did get me a life. I got me an eternal one. Isn't that awesome? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Ooh. How many are thankful for that need being met?
Amen.
According to his riches. According to his riches. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17.
Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.
Oh, boy. I oftentimes give you this example about how wealthy you are. Let's do it now again. Especially for the women in the church. How many women here today, in maybe the top dresser drawer in your dresser, you have a card with the word love on it? How many have one? Mm-hmm. Would you give it to me?
I'll give you one of them.
How many have something on a refrigerator door held on with a magnet? And that's something that's held on with a magnet. Did that come from a grandchild or a child?
No.
Yeah, would you give it to me?
No.
No. How many have a junk drawer? How many have more than one? How many have not got a clue what's in it, but you know it's valuable? Right? You know it's in there, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what's in there, but it's in there.
Yeah.
And how many know there's some stuff in there that's pretty valuable, right? I was moving furniture before I got operated on a couple of years ago for my wife Sissy. We're painting the bedroom. And I was moving the dresser, and I decided taking the drawers out would be better. So I took the drawers out, and there was a little box, a little jewelry box. And I shook it, there's something in it. Oh, that's pretty weird. Opened up, and there was a ring container. I opened it up, and inside it, guess what was in it? Teeth. Baby teeth. Baby teeth. And one of the baby teeth had a little sticker on it. It had Tommy's first tooth. Well, Tommy's our son that was killed by the drunk driver. You think she'd sell that tooth to you?
No.
Do you think there's any amount of money she'd part with that tooth for you?
No.
How many of you understand clearly that your value is not in the size of your checkbook? Your value is in the size of your love book. Right? You know, I have gotten a lot of accolades from time to time, but I got the best one I've had in a long time. My grandson Jonah, he's 8, he's writing sentences in school, right? And the word was wisdom. And he had to make a sentence. And Shauna sent it to me. It says, my pappy is full of wisdom. You think I'd trade that accolade?
No.
No. How many are wealthy in this room? You're wealthy. You're wealthy beyond measure. If somebody knows your name, you're wealthy. Let's turn our Bibles to John 15:7.
If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
Are you remaining in him? Oh, I know the answer should be what? Yes, but let's be grown up and let's be real today, okay? I mean, I know you're in him here. Because you know, it'd be weird if you weren't. But it could be that some of us now, our minds are like 1,000 miles away. Anybody have a mind that wanders? Yeah. Anybody have a mind that wanders when you pray? And you kind of think to yourself, what's wrong with me? How many of you ever think, what's wrong with me? Okay, I start counseling tomorrow. If you want to show up, I'll help you out. There's nothing wrong with us. We're human beings, right? We're human beings, and sometimes we just go on these mental trips. How many take mental vacations sometimes, right? And we just, boop, here we go again, right? There we go again. But the reality of it is, it's very simple, that I need to remain in him. And I need to remain in him when I leave this place.
Amen.
And I need to remain in him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I just can't come remain in him on a Sunday for an hour and a half. Or City Outreach, 4 hours, however long they go. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, we need to remain in him how often? Always. Look, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Are you on the same page? What?
I say I must be doing the right thing, but everything I ask for works out perfect.
Oh, praise God. Can you ask him for a motorcycle for me?
He'd say no.
He would say no. God has promised to supply all of our what?
Needs.
It does not say God will supply all my wants. It doesn't say God will supply all my desires. It says God will supply all of my what?
Needs.
There are some people that I know really truly that I think that they think God is a genie in a lamp. I mean that. No, genie in a lamp. Rub the lamp and you get what? 3 wishes. Is God like a genie in a lamp?
No.
No. You don't get 3 wishes. You get your needs met as often as you need them according to what?
God.
His glory. And according to his riches. And according to his mercy. Let's turn our Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3 verses 22 to 24.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him.
Wow. Listen, God supplies a lot of needs. Emotional needs. Relationship needs. Physical needs. All kinds of needs. And when we say that God does not supply our needs, did you know that one of your needs was to arrive here safe today?
Amen.
Did you know that he answered that?
No.
Last night when you were sleeping and your heart forgot to beat, God says, beat, you ain't done yet. How many glad supplied your need of breathing last night? Did anybody, when you went to bed last night, you were worried if somebody's going to come in and break in your house and rob you? You weren't worried about that. God supplied your protection.
Amen.
And we don't even think about that. Do we? Not really. God supplied somebody sitting next to you. Did you know that's a good need that's met? We have needs that have been met. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 2.
He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets.
Sometimes we refer to the Word of God as the what? The Bible, right? Did you know there's also the Word of God that speaks to you? How many have God's Word that speaks to you sometimes? It gives you that reassuring peace, right? How many have the peace of God that surpasses all of life's understandings? Anybody have that today? That's a good need that's been met, hasn't it? That's a really good need that the Lord God had provided for us. And you know, the really, really, really cool thing about this? Let's look at Proverbs 10:22.
The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for
it. Yeah, you don't have to work for it. He gives it to you. He gives it to you. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. How many are blessed in this room today?
Yes.
How many of you have trials and tribulations?
Yes.
How many got problems in this church? How many can still say, I'm still blessed?
Yes.
Right? Last week we talked about that. I can do all things. What kind of things can I do? I can do rich and I can do poor. I can do well and I can do sick. I can do naked and I can do clothed. For I can do all things. Are you witnessing to that today? That through the blessings of the Lord, you are wealthy because He laid His hand upon you? That's a rich blessing. Let's look at Matthew 6:32-33.
For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
He knows what I need before I even ask. What? He knows what I need before I even ask. I mean, how many of you, when you were raising up on your kids, you knew what your kids needed before they asked? Kind of knew, right? Wow. How does He know? He does know all, but how does He know my needs? Because He sees me. He watches me. He knows exactly what I need because I'm His child. That's incredibly big. How can He look at all of us at the same time and know all of our needs at the same time? Is He going to run out of blessings? You sure?
Yeah.
He won't run out?
No.
Let's do one more. Let's look at Psalm 111:5.
He provides food for those who fear Him. He remembers His covenant forever.
Does anybody fear God anymore?
Fear
Him. I mean, fear Him?
Yeah.
Not in like a sit in a corner cowering fear, but anybody have a fear of an almighty God? I do. I'm not afraid of God, but I fear Him. I fear, you know, what He could do.
That's what I just said.
I do. Yeah.
I don't like that right.
I remember a story of a man who died. He went to heaven. And he met Jesus and he said, Jesus, I want to thank You for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon me and all the many needs that You have supplied. And Jesus says, You're welcome. And the man said, No, Jesus, You don't understand. I really want to thank You. I want to thank You for all the blessings that You have given to me and all of my needs that You have met through my life. And Jesus says, Well, You're welcome. No, Jesus, would You like to see where I stored Your blessings? Oh, yes. I would love to see where You stored my blessings. Come with me. And went down one golden street to another golden street, and there was a row of storage bins bigger than you could imagine. And he went down one container, and you know, and he stood before this great big storage building. And the man said, What is that? He said, That's where I store Your blessings. You want to see? Oh, yes! And so Jesus opened the massive door on this building, and stacked from the floor to the ceiling was blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And the man said, Jesus, what is that? And he said, Oh, that's the blessings You didn't get. That's the blessings I didn't get? Oh, yeah. That's the blessings I wanted to pour down upon you. But you weren't always obedient. That's the blessings I wanted to give to you, but you weren't always in my will. Had you remained in my will, and had you remained in my word, and had you remained faithful to me, all those blessings would have been poured out on you. The question that I have for you today is this. Of all of our needs that have been met and all the blessings that you have received, what would it be like if you got them all? Every one of them. How many want to get to heaven and look at your storage building and be empty? Is there anybody here that could use a couple more blessings? Well, I want to let you know something because it's the kind of guy that I am. If you don't want your blessings, I'm willing to take them. That's the kind of guy I am. And I want to understand and help you grasp a hold of this truth. You know, your needs are going to be met and you want your blessings. Let me tell you something. You know when you go do something for somebody and your heart's right? That's a blessing.
Amen.
You know how when you go and your heart's not right? Guess what?
Not a blessing.
Not a blessing. And so what I say to you is things like this. You know, when somebody calls you on the phone and they say, can you pray with me? And you don't have time, call me. I'll pray with them. But guess what I get?
A blessing.
You're a blessing. I'm willing to take it. Oh no, I'm willing to take it. How many here are willing to take somebody's blessing if they don't want it? So turn to somebody and say, I'm willing to take your blessing. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll reach you guys. I'll take your blessings. I'm the kind of guy I am. And so, what we got to clearly understand today is this, church. This is the age of anxiety. We are living in the world of anxiety. People are uptight and worry about so many things. How many worried at least one time last week? Okay, how many worried yesterday? How many worried this morning? Okay. So 40% of all of our worries are about the future and it's not going to happen. 30% of our worries are from the past. And guess what? You ain't changing any of it. Just isn't going to happen. 22% of all of our worries are about petty little things that don't mean anything. And only 8% are legitimate concerns. And the reason why we are so stressed out is we have not yet learned to give it to God. I wonder. What's that one, Ina?
I said I wonder why I get so many blessings. Just the petty stuff. The nitpicking. My mom.
Here's the bottom line here today, guys. Here's the bottom line today. Never again will I say I lack anything. Amen. I have everything I need. I really do. And I don't have to worry if I have any needs tomorrow because God already knows it.
Amen.
I really truly can live the rest of my life knowing that God's got it covered. How many can say the same thing? I really can. I don't need to worry about anything. He's got it covered. So never again in my life will I say I lack. Because I don't. How many say the same thing? So let's go for our first two. Never again will I say I can't. One more time. Never again will I say I can't. And never again will I say I lack. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Especially as Christians witnessing into the world. Father God, we scripture memorization, that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. But Lord God, going out into the world, being able to quote scripture does not prove I'm a Christian. It just proves I have a good memory. That's all it proves, I have a really good memory. What demonstrates our Christianity is how we live our lives. If we go from this place moaning and groaning and whining and complaining about every little thing, we're just like the world. And Father God, we're in it, but we're not of it. So Lord God, help us to never again say we can't and to never again say we lack. And all of God's people said,